Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency. I'm thrilled to introduce you to this conversation with Manny Barbosa, very well spoken, very articulate, and absolutely filled with knowledge and filled with insight on how independent insurance agencies can grow. Manny is a senior digital marketing trainer at Safeco Insurance, probably worked with thousands of agencies. He's been at this. He's been in the insurance industry for 15 years. He really understands some of the key elements of digital marketing. And clearly, he is full of knowledge, but he's also still learning, which is one of my definitions of a real pro, as one of my mentors, Dan Kennedy, often said. School is never out for the pro. Which I suppose is one of the reasons we do this broadcast. So a few of the things that Manny shares his insight on, working with so many agencies and seeing results, are where you start. Where do you start when you think about marketing your agency? The importance of strategy, not just tactics. The danger of just diving in and doing things willy-nilly without a plan. Social media, how to use it, how to get the most value out of it, how to present the agency, how to discern and communicate your values in such a way that they resonate with your marketplace, how to demonstrate your involvement in something that today's market cares very much about, community, and the positive contributions you make to community. Just really covers a lot of ground. There's something that Manny forwarded to me prior to the actual podcast. I'm pretty sure we talk about it. It's intrigued me since I got it, and I got it like 10 days ago. It's a statistic from Safeco's growth survey, the 2018 version of the Safeco growth survey. And it says 56% of independent insurance agencies have an internal marketing person on staff. May not be full-time, but somebody on staff is in charge of marketing. That has been intriguing to me. Turns out that we hit 52% in 2016. So I would say maybe 2016 actually was a turning point when more than half of independent insurance agents, at least those that are affiliated with Safeco, And I know that team well enough to know that they actually encourage this, so maybe it doesn't represent the entire industry, but it does seem to be a very positive step in the right direction. The old school method of getting business, either by anxiously waiting for the phones to ring, or aggressively waiting for the phones to ring, or really expensive, having your producers responsible for their own lead generation without support, that's a throwback to the Fuller Brush days. And unfortunately, as an industry, we've been doing that for a long, 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 long time, when now there are tools available to us that pretty much allow us to jump into the marketplace automatically and to get them moving in our direction. So I thought that one absolutely intrigues me, and I do think that we are seeing a transformation of the shape and the structure of the independent insurance agency staff these days as people recognize consumers changed, hence we need to change. So without much further ado, as I said, he's a senior digital marketing trainer at Safeco. He's been in the industry for 15 years. Manny, transforms how agencies and brokerages market themselves by developing effective and powerful digital strategies, building content, one of my favorite topics, that is engaging and valuable to insurance consumers, and training agents and brokers on the modern tools, again, absolutely necessary, needed to thrive in today's digital marketplace. So now, without further ado, it's a real privilege to welcome you to listen to this conversation that I had with Manny Barbosa. Hey, Manny Barbosa, how are you?
I am doing pretty well, sir. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, I'm pumped about this because I know you have practical, tactical advice, and I like to keep it really well balanced and keep our feet on the ground. And so you've got a lot to offer. For starters, if you would be kind enough, share a little perspective, a little thumbnail sketch on who Manny Barbosa is and how you got into this sort of rather unique role in the industry at Safeco.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been with Safeco for just a little more than 15 years now. And, you know, when I first started, I was, you know, a couple years out of school and just trying my hand at different things. And I came out of school with a communications and marketing degree, but I wasn't necessarily sure what I wanted to do yet. So started working in the insurance world. And Sure enough, in a couple years, I got into training and got into marketing, and I spent probably a good 7-8 years of my time at Safeco, specifically in marketing communications roles. So in that process, really had an opportunity to get to know the Bricks and Clicks team and what they're doing on the Safeco end there, and so I had an opportunity to really work with them, eventually become a part of their team to deliver training, and I think that just came from my experience as a trainer in communications and marketing. Previous to working as a trainer, I did a lot of executive communications. I worked on social media for Safeco, even done a little bit of assistance with them on their Safeco.com platform. Outside of the business, I've worked with a couple of nonprofits in the Seattle area to help them with their communications as well. So with one of them in particular, it's a small organization that helps Vietnamese immigrants and refugees here in Seattle. And so I found a great communications volunteer opportunity with them and help them with their fundraising efforts, help them rebuild their website, help them with some of their general messaging out to their base of supporters, things like that.
Well, so you got my attention on that. I'm not sure if people are aware that years ago, our company built 4 schools in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Maybe more likely people are aware of the fact that Agency Revolution has an engineering team that I sent over there, probably 5 years ago. I've lost track of time. Sent our chief engineer to Vietnam, and then we built out a team of engineers in Vietnam. And wow. Also happy to report that 2 of the most beautiful grandchildren on the universe are half Vietnamese, so you can imagine where they came from.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. So my son Lucas lives there. So, and actually, I've been in this industry for 25 years. Some people may not know that prior to that, I had a life, and one of the positions that I held, I ran the nonprofit in the Portland metropolitan area that resettled refugees, and this was back in the day when we were bringing in a lot of Vietnamese. So, you caught my attention on that one. So I did want to ask you a quick question. You'd said that you had done, I think it was 7 or 8 years of marketing communications for Safeco prior to what you're doing right now. Was that marketing for Safeco, for the insurance carrier?
Yes, it was. A lot of it was internal facing, so it was primarily to the business, but then I also spent several years working external to agents as well. So,
got it. Okay.
It was marketing for Safeco specifically, yes.
Okay. Okay. So you really have worked for a carrier, and obviously you do now, but you really work now on behalf of independent insurance agents, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's still certainly for the carrier, still for Safeco, but what we offer is the training that we offer is really not branded by Safeco. Safeco, we do offer tools and services for them, but pretty much all the tactics, the tips, the techniques, all the teachings that we offer, they really are general to anything, and we understand that because we know that independent agents they work with many carriers. That's part of being an independent agent. So what we offer are tools and services and tips to help them grow their entire business. Because ultimately, if they're doing well, we're doing well, and all carriers are doing well on this channel.
That's progressive thinking, and I like that. And I mean progressive with a small p.
I hear you.
Okay, so you and I have gotten to know each other a little bit. We've shared the stage, so to speak, in webinars and have had some opportunity to chat. And one of the things that resonates with me about your thinking so strongly is that we share a common value, I think. And that is that marketing tactics, marketing techniques, marketing tricks, all those shiny new things that everybody wants to jump at, they really need to be grounded first in strategy. And strategy becomes, strategy comes first, tactic comes second. And so in your training or in your philosophy, in your line of thinking, where do you think agents need to start with strategy?
Sure. You know, I think one of the very first places that's kind of critical to start is to have an understanding of what the marketplace, how they're doing, how they're reacting to things today, right? Because it's quite different over time. What they were 10 years ago is different from what those consumers are today. So having an understanding and paying attention to what's happening in the marketplace is probably the very baseline of where you need to be, right? And you can do that through very easy channels. It's what you're hearing through folks like you, Michael Janz, and what you talk about all the time, but also through other trade magazines and information that's on the news, and what you're hearing from your own clients. All those are sources of information about how people want to do business today, how they're changing, what's important to them versus what it was 10, 15 years ago. And so what we really find is there's a couple of key things there that what you'd really want to pay attention to the most that seems to kind of emerge out of all these. And the first one is that the consumer and the way they transact business has changed pretty dramatically. So today, folks are looking for more technological advances and options to process and do business with businesses. And so often what I hear is independent agents construing that as meaning, well, they want technology to replace us. And that's not quite true. That's not what we're seeing. That's not what we're hearing. It's that generations now and generations that are now becoming, you know, that are buying homes and getting married and having families and needing to protecting more of their assets and their businesses, those folks are looking for technology to help augment the relationship they have with their independent agent or with a reliable, trusted source to help them on any number of things, whether that's a financial advisor, a risk advisor, whatever it is. And so I just want to make sure that that point is clear, that technology is absolutely critical. That's changed. People want new ways to communicate, but they're not looking at ways to replace you necessarily. It's to augment that relationship. So that's the first thing I see.
Okay.
The second big thing is really about how consumers value the relationship with their with the businesses they work with. So what they're looking for there is, we're seeing this in a lot of different studies. I know Edelman does this a lot with their earned brand study and some of the other studies they do. I'm sure you're familiar. And but there's others.
By the way, when you mention Edelman, I have in years over the years, I have referred to their, I think it's their annual global customer trust survey. And one of, I haven't seen it for a couple of years, but you know, the most recent one that I saw had it indicated that less than 50%, like, you know, was a really low number, trust the insurance industry to do the right thing. You know, if we're going to continue this point, I think that there's a lot that agents can do using technology to regain that trust and open those channels to deliver meaning and value and delight. So I think Edelman's work has been excellent in the industry, but also sometimes a glass of cold water thrown at your face.
And sometimes you need that cold water thrown.
Yeah, we do. So in any case, I interrupted you because, yes, so you were talking about Edelman's branding analysis. And
no, I think you you're right on. They do so much with regard to that, but also I know Cone Communications has the corporate social responsibility index that they do, the survey, mm-hmm. and that's a global one. But basically, what you see in all this is that the relationship with the customer is strengthened significantly when they believe that their values align with the businesses. That's kind of the big takeaway. And so, you know, those are the things that I think is important to for agents to really tune into is that, yes, people want technology to enhance their experience with us, to do business, to communicate, things like that. But they also want to know who you are, why you do what you do, what you stand for, and that helps them determine whether or not you're somebody they want to align to. And really, that's an amazing strength when you're an independent agent, because that absolutely sets you apart from everybody else. Because in the end, there are a lot of people selling insurance. There are a lot of businesses selling insurance. So what makes you so special? That's the question.
Okay. So I'm going to pause here for a moment, and I'm going to ask your thoughts on something. Yes, people clearly they want to do business with businesses whose values resonate with theirs, right?
Sure.
Now, does that mean, do you think, and I realize you're representing Safeco, and I don't know what Safeco's official policy or philosophy is about this, but clearly there are some insurtechs that are attempting to excuse me, present values, deliver on those values, but also bypass the middle person, right, to disintermediate. So do you think when we talk about people, is it useful for independent insurance agents to segment which people are most likely to want to do business with them and to identify which people are most likely to be the most profitable or lucrative and loyal customers?
Well, I think it's a question that really comes down to what the agency is looking for in terms of a target customer for themselves, right, or a target client. And that is something that we say a lot, right, is that ultimately you want to market and build your brand in a way that targets the client that you think is right for your business. And that's going to be different, obviously, from every agent to every agent.
Right. So, but also, Manny, let me throw this one out. Also, to some extent, different from channel to channel.
Correct.
So we have the independent insurance agency channel, or in a broader context, the agency channel. We have the digital channel. We have the direct channel. And it conceivably, and my research would support this, because people have different values, they're naturally attracted to a different channel. But also within our channel, there are those clients, there are those customers who are going to be by nature more willing to buy more insurance, more willing to stay with you longer, more willing to refer their friends and family. In other words, that you know, these are the highly loyal insurance that Bain talks about that are going to richly reward the independent insurance agent. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm probably not asking you a question. I think I just got on a soapbox and delivered a sermon.
No, I think it's a great point, right? Because you're right. There are going to be different people who have different expectations based on the channels, like you mentioned. So if you're looking for, what I would say is that what most independent agents are looking for are those customers who are going to be with them through the long term, right? We don't want the folks who are going to come in looking for the cheapest, most basic insurance with absolutely no hassle and no conversation, because that really undermines the value of what an independent agent is.
Fair enough. Right? Fair enough. And I see this is one of the reasons I think it's important. Maybe there are a couple of reasons it's important. One is that anecdotal information is extremely dangerous because it's just, you never get a good enough sample base from it. So when a CSR comes to an agency principal and says, all anybody asks for is the cheapest price, that's dangerously anecdotal, and the sample base is dangerously small, and it may just be an indication that the agency principal needs to change their messaging so they're not just attracting what are proven to be high churn price shoppers.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because what I've always said is that when you're establishing the first step in your marketing journey, is that one of the first things we say from a tactical perspective where you even begin is by actually taking the time to sit down and figure out what the purpose of what your purpose statement is for your business. And so that, of course, differs from a mission statement, because that mission statement is really about the hard numbers, the objectives, the basic overall purpose of the business. But then the purpose statement itself is about why I do business. Why do I do what I do every day? And that's often and almost always infused with the values that you as a person experienced, grew up with, and take with you into your adulthood, right? The things that you value, the people you surround with have those same values. The people you work with likely have those same ones as well. And so when you put that purpose into your marketing, you start that at ground level and build that into all of your marketing. That's the essence of everything you do. The message you put out there, the brand you build for yourself, is that these are the things that are important to me and the value that I offer you, the community, and that in turn attracts people who have those same values. Going back to that corporate responsibility survey and what they're saying as well, what they see, which is that people want to work with businesses whose values align with theirs. So that's usually what we say is the baseline. And so when you're doing that and you avoid words like, you know, even using terms like cheap and price, you know, and you make it a more of a value-driven conversation versus a price-driven conversation, you're going to get a different response from most, if not all, of your clients.
When you look at the agencies that you work with, and presumably lots of them, I don't know if you have a territory, Manny, or if you've trained all over the country, but I know you've trained
nationwide.
A lot. Nationwide, okay. So when you look at you're successful, like the ones who kind of the cream that floats to the top, and you start to kind of suss out what their values are when they present what those values are. What do you see as the kinds of things that they present to the marketplace in terms of their purpose and their values?
Sure. So I think, first of all, the first thing I see is that that's going to be very unique to every agent. So it's hard to say there's one thing, because it's always based on their very unique values and perspectives.
Oh,
and, right.
I mean, the last thing I want to do is to have somebody hear this and say, oh, I'm going to copy that guy's values.
Right. Don't do that.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But what we do see beyond that is, I think, a good example that we often like to highlight. And
yeah.
We even spoke with him last week, and he was awarded our agent for the future award last week was Jeff Roy and Una Roy up in Canada.
Yeah.
With Excalibur Insurance. I think they have what they do with their purpose and what they stand for as a business, as people, they highlight so beautifully throughout everything they do. And when you look at their website, it is nothing but infused with what they stand for. And for them, it's about protecting the customer and being the defender for the customer, helping them against potentially misleading information and other individuals out there who maybe don't have maybe best intentions. I don't know if that's one of them, but certainly protecting the customer from getting wrong information and helping them get educated and understand what the process is, understand what's in it for them, understand how that team at Excalibur is there to protect them. Their whole existence is to get up and make sure that the customer is protected, they have the coverage they need, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think they do a really great job with that.
Mm-hmm.
Others out there that do really well, I think, is, you know, you look at agencies like here in Washington, we have McLean Insurance Services in Everett, Washington. Claudia McLean is just a wonderful person overall, but also very...
she is. And by the way, for new listeners, she is a previous guest. Dig into the archives and listen to that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's just, and just everything she does with the website, with what she does on social media, is she's such a strong part of her community. She supports so many organizations that are helping the community to be better than it was. And I love that about her, and I think that's the kind of thing that makes her stand out, because you can see where her values align. It's with building community. It's supporting those who support others. that's the kind of thing that attracts clients to her and who stick with her for years and years and years. I mean, she's been in business for, what, almost 40 years or so now?
Yeah.
And so this is somebody who clearly has got a formula down that's working really well.
And by the way, folks, she has one of the very highest retention rates of any agency that I have worked with. So
indeed,
she does have a formula that works really, really well.
Yeah, so what you see in here, Michael, is that through these examples, those are two of them, but there are more out there as well that we've seen, is that these are individuals who are willing to share about themselves. They're willing to be personable, willing to be people, and ultimately that's what we are. We do business with people. We don't do business with businesses, right? We are in the people business before we're in the insurance business, so it has to be about you and that connection. And so when you're willing to share who you are, what you value, what you align with, and then how you're doing that in the community through the organizations you support, et cetera, that is the stuff that really transcends price, right? Price is always a factor. That's never going to go away. But the value can often supersede the price conversation.
Absolutely. And that is that's where the money is in this space. So I think it's an important point. So there were a few things that you said that stood out to me, because I think there is some anxiety among insurance agents, particularly probably boomers, that they're not well positioned for the millennial market, which of course is the now the largest market, at least in terms of the number of participants, if not the value of the assets, but that's growing as well. And so there were a couple of things that my research, which secondary research, so I'm reading the research that's done by, you know, the big consulting, big advisory, big research firms, and always trying to synthesize and summarize what's happening there to make it real for the independent insurance agent. You mentioned a couple of things that are apparently very important to the millennial market, that sense of transparency, that vulnerability. This is who I am as a person. This is what I stand for. When I think about Jeff's agency, when I think about Claudia's agency, they're not hiding merely behind a logo or a slogan. You actually, because of their willingness to use technology and media, and a customer can get a sense of who they are, a prospect can get a sense of who they are. So that sense of being a real person, highly valued by that growing millennial market, and also contributions back to the community, being a valuable member of community, is also really important to that growing millennial market. So for those who have that concern about whether or not you're going to be well positioned, I think there's a lot that we can do that positions us well in the marketplace in general, that also positions us really, really well to the millennial market. So,
yeah, and what I'd add on to that, I think that's absolutely right on, is that what I think independent agents sometimes need to remember is that you actually have all that ready now. That's not something you have to create from the beginning. It's just that it's often, how do I share it, or when do I share it, or is it okay?
Okay, so that gets us to the next part of the conversation. Because so what you had said, I think kind of summarizing a couple of your points that just absolutely resonated with me, is that strategy, obviously, before tactic, and really gaining an understanding of strategy means, to some extent, understanding what the marketplace responds to, so you can pursue that strategically, and you'd identified two things that consumers do expect. Some technological solutions, but they are not there to replace the humans in most cases. In some cases, yes, but in many cases, no. For a lot of clients, no. They're not there to replace them, but to augment them. And that a lot of consumers value, this is the tribal species argument, that by nature we are wired to value relationships, because frankly, we can't live without them. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy, There's not much that you can achieve on that entire pyramid without relationships that help get you there. And so the value of an independent insurance agent is, I think it's wired into the human being. So now, if people want to know who you are and people want real value and they want to know that you're making contributions, boom, we've got technology that can help you do that. What do you like to suggest? What do you like to propose to agents about using technology to communicate that sense of connectedness?
I think the first thing is that when we talk about I think social media becomes one of the ones that comes right up to the top, right? That is one of the big hits, and everybody thinks about, and everybody wants to get on board with, and that's all I hear about when I go around and teach throughout the country to different agencies. But I will say that social media, again, should be a part of your marketing strategy. I want to make that very clear. I do not believe that your marketing strategy is only social media. It's
right.
Not. That will land you in a whole heap of trouble if you just do that, because it's not really relaying your message. But as a part of your strategy, it becomes one of the best ways to share your values, to share your brand. And what I always say is that social media can be good to grow business. It's even better for strengthening retention. You know, for a lot of independent agents throughout the year, they want to and they'd love to maybe have more touch points with their clients, but they just don't have the time, and that's understandable. Well, guess what? Social media allows you to share insight into your world very specifically on this platform that goes out to all the people who are following you. So that's very easy to do in that sense.
In an acceptable, non-threatening way.
That's true. Absolutely.
According to MBlock survey, 86% of insurance consumers don't want inbound phone calls from their insurance provider. So, frankly, it's not just a matter of whether or not I got the time to do it. It's a matter of whether or not I want to irritate my customers when I do it.
That's right. And I have friends who've said the same thing. So they personally have said that to me. So it's true. But I think you're right. The uninvasiveness of it is what's really great. So what really is so great about social media that made it this vehicle? Well, if you think about it, 20, 25 years ago, before social media was even really around, people really only relied on client referrals or their friends' opinions, and those turned into client referrals, in order to understand the value of a business, right? You didn't have many other channels unless maybe they did some sort of advertising, and even then, maybe not so much, right, from a billboard or from a radio ad. But then today, all of a sudden, you have all these new channels that allow you to share pictures right from your phone or from your computer, and videos as well that you can take literally live of you doing something in the moment. That was so revolutionary in the sense that, as far as businesses were concerned, it allowed them to share the inside look at who they were and what they were about. In fact, when you look at Instagram, that's one of the big things they talk about with Instagram and that people like about it, is that for brands, it's successful because it allows people to get an inside look, a behind the curtain look at the business. And so that essentially translates to all of it. But that doesn't mean they necessarily need to watch you all working on writing a policy. Maybe it can, but it's mostly about who are you in the community? And that ultimately is probably the biggest tool in the independent agent arsenal to combat the $6 billion that are being spent on advertising from these large carriers. Why? Because these large, especially large direct carriers, you know what? They don't have that ability to form relationships at a local level that independent agents do. And I think independent agents, some of them don't realize how powerful that is. So when you call an 800 number that's 1,000 miles away and talk to them about your situation, they're not going to know what it's like in your local community. But you, as an independent agent, you are. You might have gone to school with these people. You probably know the locations they're talking about. You know what the weather patterns are there. You know the kind of homes that exist in that area. This is such critical information that you can share, and you can share it through very personable ways of showing, you just even doing things like having fun in the office, you doing things like being a part of the community, but also sharing useful, helpful tips that are insurance related and that are timely, that help those folks in those local areas, in those local communities.
There's an irony here. I'm curious what your thought is on this. Let's take Progressive Direct, for example, or Progressive, okay. Set aside the independent agency side. Obviously, they don't have a Progressive doesn't have a presence. They don't have a persona in Bellingham or in Seattle or in, you know, Kalamazoo, right? But they have a person that they whose personality, persona, characteristics, and qualities they have highly, highly refined. And everybody in the United States know who Flo is, and they have some sense of what she is like. Now, if you asked the average insurance client in your community or in your neighborhood or in your marketplace, if they have a sense of who Flo is better than they have a sense of who you are as the agency principal, there's a problem, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Geico too. If they have a sense that they know that little lizard, right?
Yeah.
You know, charming, really fun accent, kind of quirky. If they know him better than they know you, man, there's a really big problem.
And
because guess what? One, he's a lizard. Two, he's a cartoon character. And so going back to your earlier point, independent agents have such a built-in, it's inherent, a wired strength, which is the fact that we are real people and we are in a real community and we have real values that people can connect with.
And Michael, I think sometimes it goes beyond just independent agents. I think it's just businesses, or not all businesses, but a lot of businesses in general. When you get into a business role, and especially in insurance, which historically in terms of businesses, it tends to be an older one, right, industry, you know, you get into this mentality that I'm at work, and so I have to be business focused, and I am a business person, and I must be business-like, and I am boring, and boring, boring, boring. And so what I often tell agents is that, you know why people know Flo? Because Flo's, even if she is an actress, she's emoting what it is to be a real human. And so for agents, it's kind of the same thing. I say, take what's in your brain, all that business savvy knowledge experience, marry that with what's in your heart, and put that out of your mouth into all of your marketing. So I always tell folks that, yes, there is some level of emotion and humanity that needs to be in everything you do. We don't want to overwhelm it one way or the other. You don't want to be too transactional. You don't want to be too, you know, more on the emotional end of it. But if you marry those two in the middle and get that nice balance, that comes out in your marketing, and folks can see that. They start to feel that, okay, this person knows what they're talking about, and they're pretty cool. And for me, I always say, if you're going to do pretty well in business, usually it comes down to two basic things. Do people like you, and do you know what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got those two, you're going to do pretty well.
All right. So, given what we've talked about so far, either when, you know, before people hear your training or, you know, go through this the Safeco Bricks and Clicks experience, or even afterwards, I'm curious what you see as some of the biggest missteps or mistakes that agents make.
Sure. Yeah. So a couple that always I feel like come to mind. The first one I would say is that there is a sense of viewing marketing as a checklist of items I must complete and check off and then move on.
Okay. How many times, you know, back when I was active in the day-to-day operations of Agency Revolution and working very closely with the sales team, I can't tell you how many times that was a conversation that sales staff had. Oh,
sure.
We've got a website. You know, does it?
And we check the box, and we're done, and we're good to go. We don't have to touch that for another, maybe ever.
Does it get optimal results for you? Oh, you know, don't start asking questions like that, right?
That's right. It's like I just had to check the box, and I did that. Yeah, and so I guess when I hear that, and I can understand that when I hear folks say that, because
it's a place
we work
to start.
Very,
well, we it's a place to start. I mean, you kind of need the checklist of. You know, my social media, my website, my marketing automation, you know, like I know I got to do something with it, Yeah. You know, but that's kind of like saying, okay, I got to do surgery. And so, you know,
I'm just going to start cutting them open.
Am I just going to start cutting?
Yeah, I don't know where to cut them open, but I'm just going to cut them open.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But I guess I understand that, though, because for a lot of, you know, we work in a very transactional world when it comes to insurance. You know, you write the policy, you spit out the policy, the premium's paid, and on this date, the policy is in force and all these things. And so when we're talking about marketing, it is much more, it's science for sure, but it's even quite a bit of art in there as well. So it's not necessarily as I say, it's not the gumball effect where you put the quarter in, turn the crank, and out comes the gumball. You put the quarter in, it might swirl around for about 2 months, three yeah. months, a year or two, and then eventually you'll see the product of that effort that you put in with regard to your marketing objective.
Marketing is a, as you said, it's art and science.
Yeah.
And I think Steve Jobs has a quote that I'm probably paraphrasing it or mangling a little bit, but he said, you know, technology alone is not enough. So that's the science part. It's technology married with the liberal arts, technology married with the humanities that makes our hearts sing. And to me, that's sort of like the ultimate. Of course, I ran a technology company and always felt that the quality of the technology is not enough. We've got to marry it with the humanities. So in other words, our content needs to be good. Our messaging needs to be good. You know,
right.
That sense of delight needs to be there as well. And then, boom, that's where we got our raving fans, was they really had the sense that it wasn't just that we had a cool piece of technology. It was our values resonated with them, and we helped them resonate values with their customer.
Right. If you're educating people, you know, it's, you know, I talk a lot about being a personable, you know, being personal, being human, and being authentic and sharing what you're doing in the community and the values you align with, even having fun in your office. But that also comes in what you share with regard to tips and, you know, information you're providing to your clients, to your followers, to help them to lead better, more secure lives, to protect themselves. You know, when you're sharing timely tips just before a storm hits to help them protect themselves better, that's pretty powerful stuff, and that shows that you care as well. So you're showing that same those values that you stand for. You're showing that through what you're sharing. It's a lot better than saying, hey, I sell umbrella insurance, come buy for me, because you know what? Those kinds of posts, those kinds of interactions
right.
virtually get no interest from people.
Well, they do get a reaction. The reaction usually is running away from, not running towards.
For sure. Right?
So yeah. let me see. Hey, my name's Michael. Can I sell you some insurance?
Right.
So I want to ask your thoughts on something. Insurance professionals are insurance professionals, usually, first and foremost. I suppose you could say not always. I mean, I have a lot of clients who are entrepreneurs first, insurance agents second, or as I like to call them sometimes, insurepreneurs. But very few are educated in marketing. And as a 25-year professional in marketing, number one, I'll sympathize. I mean, I remember, you know, way back in the day when I was writing my first sales letter, you know, realizing that this was a dark, kind of a dark art, you know, where do you know, where are the secrets? Where are the shortcuts? And, you know, it's a real profession, just like anything else. And so to some extent, we're asking people who are already serious, well-trained professionals. Now, there's this other thing you need to do, which is to gain some understanding of the field of marketing, which is a fast-moving, changing, and often sometimes mysterious craft.
Sure.
So how do you see agents successfully responding to that challenge and stepping up to the marketing challenge?
Well, I see it like this. For me, and maybe this comes from the way I just do things in general, is that I'm willing to try different things until I find something that sticks. And that really is at the basis of everything with marketing,
right.
Kind of how it works, right? They've got to just be willing to give something a shot. Throw something at the wall. Does it stick? If not, okay, why didn't it stick? Let me think about this. What can I shift around a little bit? And then I'll throw it at the wall again and see if it sticks this time. And that's really what, there has to be a curiosity there. There has to be a willingness to say, okay, we'll give this a shot. I'm not sure if it's going to work. It's a little bit scary, but if I'm going to be scared of everything and hide all my life, I'll never get anything done, right? So I've got to take that risk sometimes. So there is a certain level of curiosity and risk-taking that needs to be in there. Mm-hmm. And when you see something new that pops up, who knows if it's going to work for your industry or your business, but give it a shot if it looks interesting to you. You know, I say easiest way for independent agents to do that, even today, is through simple things like just doing some video, just doing some live video. For a lot of folks, that's still kind of new to them, right? And it's almost a little bit scary. You mean I turn this thing on and I'm going to be live right now? What do I talk about? And I respond with, well, I don't know. What do you talk about? Try it and find out. You might just find you had a good time turning it on. You might find you were better by planning for that and doing it, but you've got to be willing to try it, because in the end, there is no magic bullet that's going to help you succeed at marketing. You just need to pay attention to what's happening in the marketplace in terms of what customers' needs are, how those are changing, and then be willing to try things to get their attention or to talk to them or to communicate with them through a variety of different ways. And if you can do that, I think you can have a pretty decent level of success there.
All right. I want to ask your perspective on something. There's a phenomenon that I've witnessed, and my witness is a little bit anecdotal, and I do often wonder if the agents that I tend to be exposed to, you know, they tend kind of the cream of the crop, just because of the nature of my marketing. You know, I'm always, you know, and really only interested in working with people who are serious professionals and have that curiosity and have that kind of that hunger that you had talked about. So here's the phenomenon I've experienced. It seems that the traditional structure of the independent insurance agency of today is changing from what it was back in the day, whatever day that was. Could have been just a few years ago, but certainly back in the 90s. Okay. So the traditional structure, agency principal, and then we've got the producers and the CSRs and then the admin staff, you know, kind of structured like that. And, you know, there are more complications, but it seems that I'm seeing the emergence of a new function within the agency, and it's changing a lot within the agency, and that is a marketer, not necessarily full-time, not necessarily, you know, a professional marketer, but at least somebody who has some marketing responsibilities, usually marketing execution responsibilities, working in most cases, perhaps closely with the agency principal. Are you seeing that more?
We are. Okay. Yeah. In fact, one thing that
it's not just my wishful thinking. Maybe it's actually happening out there. Okay.
It is. And it's a good thing. Yeah. One thing that we see that we do is our Safeco agency growth survey about every other year or so. And so what we saw in our most recent one is that when we asked, and this is the a select number of agents who are appointed with Safeco, but when we asked them, you know, how do you have a marketer on staff? 56% of them said that they have an internal marketer on staff. Now, that number is up by about 4 percentage points from what it was about a year, year and a half ago. So that's pretty darn good. But we still have a percentage out there, about 21%, who told us that they have nobody doing marketing. So Is it changing? It is. Could it change faster? I absolutely believe so, because when you've got somebody whose focus is on marketing, then you can truly see the value of what that marketing is bringing back. But, Michael, I want to bring this up. There's one critical component that has to go along with that.
Yeah.
You have got to track your marketing efforts. So that is also a misstep I see from a lot of agents when they're doing marketing, is that they don't track their efforts. So they might hire somebody, either part-time or full-time. They might have somebody doing it for however many hours a week. But then, so they're paying for that time, but then they're not tracking anything. So they're buying, you know, they're purchasing or they're hosting their website, they're purchasing different services, they're paying for these different services, but then very few of them can come back to me and tell me what those are doing for them in terms of bringing in dollars. They're not asking people how they heard about their business. They're not asking. They're not checking out their
okay.
Google Analytics.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Things like that.
Yeah. So those are a couple of things that are the first one's super easy, even if it's done manually, right? So whenever anybody makes an inbound call to the agency, somebody says, "Can you? Would you be kind enough to tell me how you found out about us?" Right. So that can be done. You don't even need whiz bang fancy technology to do that.
Right.
Okay. The second thing, Google Analytics, takes a little bit of training, and then knowing what to do about it takes a little bit of training. But I don't play violins on this one. I mean, to some extent, I say I sympathize, but my sympathy's a little the bucket's a little short on this one.
It is for me too.
I agree with Peter Drucker that that the purpose of a business is to get and keep customers, and so if that's it, if that's like the fundamental core reason that our society allows businesses to be in existence and why and how businesses get rewarded, it would seem that question, how do I get and keep customers, would be the question that an insurance agent should like have on their desk. They show up at every single morning at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and that's the little thing I want to write on a post-it note and stick on my computer. Is how do I get and keep customers, and how do I get better at that, and what am I going to do today to get more of them and to keep more of them longer? So, right. Yeah, kind of, to some extent, I'm sympathetic because I don't think the world has done a great job presenting insurance agents, with the solutions to the problems and the answers to marketing. On the other hand, they're out there. I mean, you've got your program and there are a lot of ways that people can learn that skill. And I think that now more than ever, given the relatively turbulent world that we live in, the fast-changing world that we live in, it's imperative.
Sure.
All right.
And I think that part of that really does come down to that we did change societally as in terms of how we talk about businesses, where I think in the past it was simple to just sell because that really was the only channel that you had available through simple advertising and things like that, except for people hearing about you from a friend or a family member. But today, it doesn't actually need to be about selling. In fact, social media is called social media, not selling media. So the whole point there is for you to just be people who work just like everybody else on this planet and sharing your experiences, who you are, what you stand for. And that really is it. And that is what transcends what marketing of many years ago used to be, right? It's not the marketing today. It's actually much more human today than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Okay. And that's an allusion to the thing that you and I talked about in the webinar that we both participated in not that long ago. Content marketing is such a humanizing way to communicate, to deliver value, to deliver a sense of yourself, and to attract today's marketplace.
For sure. Absolutely.
So, all right. I'm going to put you on the
spot. Because you can add so much in there about, your perspectives on it. And, and that's what I think people are looking for, is they want to know the details and the facts and the data, but they also want to know kind of what your thoughts are on it as well, because that, those may differ from people to people, but it's you sharing your knowledge, your experience, right? Nobody's an expert maybe on anything, but we can at least be quite knowledgeable on these things, and we can share what our experience has taught us.
I'm gonna put you on the spot, okay? I'm gonna wind it down with one last question. All righty.
Sure.
So it's the insurance billboard question. If you had an opportunity to put a billboard on the insurance superhighway and everybody was going 60 to 70 miles an hour, and so, if there's much more than 8 or 10 words, they're not going to be able to read it. If you wanted to deliver one poignant message to the insurance agent of today, a short one, a pithy one, okay?
Yep.
What would you say?
Be real.
Bingo. Anything else?
That's it.
Yeah, be real. Okay.
I would say be real, share who you are, share why you do what you do, because we go, if we're just looking to get a paycheck, that's not a really great answer. And quite frankly, it goes beyond that, right? Because we can get paychecks anywhere. So if you're going to share what you why you do what you do, think about that and keep asking yourself, why? What is it that gives me, I should have, hopefully, some joy at the end of the day coming home from my job?
Yeah.
And if you don't, and that's happening consistently over time, maybe this isn't the right business for you. But if at the end of the day, think about why you like to do what you do. Do you get personal satisfaction from watching the light turn on when the customer finally gets something that has been mystifying them for 20 years and they feel like it's been explained to them wrong every time? Or is it that you get to help people in your community protect the assets that matter the most to them, that you're protecting their livelihood and in turn protecting your own community in a sense, contributing to that larger community feeling? What are those things? Keep asking yourself, why? Why is this enjoyable to me? Why do I do this? What was so good about that experience? And if you keep drilling down and get to that core point, you will find out essentially what that purpose is for your business, what your values are, and then take all that and put that in all of your marketing so people see that as your brand.
Do you find that the most successful agents that you work with they've somehow taken the time to step back from the agency and to think things through?
Some have for sure. I think that's the, yes. I mean, I think put it this way, I would say that anybody who believes that these tactics work, a lot of the ones we're talking about here today that I often teach in these classes and workshops we do, things like that. All these things are things that folk, these agents who have implemented them and been successful, they took the time to say, look, I get it. It's easier for me to say I don't have the time, but guess what? We can say that to just about every single thing we do every day, personal or business.
Right on.
So we have to find the time. And when we do, and we place a commitment on it, and we spend the time, and we say, nope, I'm not going to, I know I could do marketing right now, and I have other things to do, and I could do those other things, but I'm not. I'm going to stick to my marketing objectives. I'm going to do this. I'm going to infuse it with purpose. I'm going to share my values, et cetera, et cetera. And when you focus on that and you take the time, yes, you will begin to see a change in the way people respond to that. And that takes time, though. Again, it's not the gumball effect. You're not going to get a response right away. That is going to take time over a couple weeks, months, even years.
Manny, if our listeners want to reach out to you or find out more about you, if they have questions or if they want to find out more about Bricks and Clicks at Safeco, how sure. can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly reachable on LinkedIn, so you can just find me under Manny Barbosa. But also, if you are with if you're aligned with Safeco, if you're appointed with Safeco, I'm part of their Bricks and Clicks team, so you can also reach me through Safeco Now on their Bricks and Clicks page under Sell and Grow. My contact information is there along with the rest of my team. I work with an awesome team. We're a small group, but we are a very excitable bunch who love what we do and have an incredible amount of collective knowledge about marketing, both from the inside the industry, but also external from the industry as well.
Very good. Manny Barbosa, thank you so much. This has been a super fun conversation for me, and I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it. So on behalf of them, I want to thank you for being generous and spending time with us today.
Well, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure, such an honor being here. Really great opportunity to work with you, Michael, and to share what I know, what you know, with independent agents to make them awesome out there, because independent agents are absolutely the best way to go to help people protect what they have, what they own, their livelihoods. And so stand behind that 100%. Wahoo.
Fantastic. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.